The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is your source for breaking news and what to make of it all. This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
Now the inflation and high interest rates that Joe Biden caused have resulted in the Biden banking crisis, a disaster of historic proportions.
Mr. Secretary, I want to say to you right now, your behavior is disgraceful. If you had integrity, you would resign.
This is a choice Republicans have made. More guns, more deaths.
Now, from the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike Gallagher.
There were some fireworks on Capitol Hill yesterday. Senator Ted Cruz mixed it up with the DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And I know why Ted Cruz was frustrated. I haven't even interviewed him about it. We could. Maybe we'll get him on the show one of these days. I guarantee you he was frustrated because the DHS Secretary doesn't seem to want to admit there's a problem. Why are Democrats so worried about identifying the problem at the border? The exchange was really, really something to behold. We'll play it for you here in just a couple of moments. Five times, Senator Cruz asked Mayorkas if there's a crisis at the border. And Mayorkas would not answer that question. Five times. This is not, you know, I am really in this mindset today of the frustration I feel in trying to reason with people in good faith, but knowing they don't want to reason with me, with us, in good faith. Look at this headline over the from the New York Times over the Nashville shooting. What we know about the Nashville school shooting over the New York Times. This is an actual headline. Quote, investigators were still searching for a motive in the killing of six people at the Covenant School. Now, it's been widely reported that the killer was very specific in why the killing occurred. She had a manifesto. She wrote it all out. She told a friend, apparently in text messages, it'll all be very clear why I did what I did in my manifesto. Do you know they still haven't released the manifesto? There are activists who don't want the manifesto released, and I wonder why. Why would people not want to know what the killer's motive was? When that monster Dylann Roof murdered all those beautiful churchgoers at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina, it was very evident and it became very clear he was a disgusting, vile, evil racist who wanted to murder black people. And no one had any aversion to recognizing the evil that he was. Why are we unwilling to recognize the evil of somebody who targets a Christian church and school? And yes, there is a church there. That's been completely disregarded by the media. This is not a school shooting, it's a church shooting too. Why would you not want to know the motivation? What possible reason could there be? I always try to have a good faith dialogue with people. I'm trying to understand, what could the resistance be? I guess people are afraid, activists are afraid, it's going to reflect badly on the trans community, the LGBT community. That must be the mindset. And listen, you know me. I think evil is evil. I don't think you're evil because of your sexual orientation or your identity or your skin color or your ethnicity. I don't think that your identity causes you to massacre 9-year-old children. This was an evildoer. This was a vicious, cowardly, monstrous, evil person. You know, people that are, and I know people are consumed with the whole trans debate and get very upset about it. People are worried about the LGBT community being harassed and targeted, kids who are struggling with their sexual identity. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. They're fearful. Evil is evil. And we've seen straight people, gay people, trans people, white people, black people, people of all stripes commit awful acts of violence and evil in this country. What's the default position from the left? Blame the guns. And if you don't blame the guns, then you're to blame. If you don't blame the inanimate object, and sorry, a gun is an inanimate object, if you don't blame the gun, you're to blame. It's the fault of the Republicans. Joe Scarborough was a Republican congressman from Pennsylvania. He decided, I guess, for his own career goals, turn away from the Republican Party, become a far-left, typical talking head on MSNBC. I'm sure that MSNBC appreciated an ex-Republican teaming up with his wife, Mika, and railing against Republicans every day. But frankly, I didn't have the ex-Republican congressman blaming Republicans for the Nashville shooting on my bingo card. I just didn't. I understand the nature of activists, and there are activists on the right, there are activists on the left. Activists aren't typically average Americans. So it's hard to even recognize this type of activism. I want you to hear what Joe Scarborough, former Republican congressman, said with his wife, you know, grunting affirmation next to her. She's making sound effects and she's, you know, making noises of disgust as he rails against Republicans because we're to blame for what that person in Nashville did to those beautiful people. Listen to this.
We now live in a society in 2023 because of Republicans, because of the NRA, because of the gun manufacturers who make millions and millions and billions of dollars. We now live in a society where the cops are afraid of the convicts, where former presidents, former presidents, they make martyrs out of convicts who stormed the United States Capitol. These Republicans are the enemy of the rule of law. Everywhere we look, they're so worried about drag show, whatever they do, all of this stupidity. They're so afraid somebody's going to read a book about Hank Aaron. They're so afraid they're going to read a book on Roberto Clemente, but they're perfectly fine with AR-15s all over the freaking world. They're sick.
You know what that guy gets paid, reportedly, to spew that kind of garbage on a national TV show? $13 million a year. They give that clown $13 million a year to blame Republicans for the Nashville massacre. Now, I'm a pretty good communicator. I couldn't connect those dots if I tried. I don't even know how you do that. Let's see. Republicans believe in the Second Amendment. We don't want to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. We sure as heck don't want to keep kids from reading books about Hank Aaron or Roberto Clemente. But Republicans are so racist and so evil that we're the reason six people were murdered at Covenant School this week in Nashville. You couldn't make that, you couldn't connect those dots if you had the proverbial gun to your head. How do you make that connection? Again, I understand activists. Activists will say anything. Their activists are filled with rage and contempt and delusions, I should say. But this guy's got a national TV show. They're paying him $13 million a year. You sit there, you put on the makeup, you put your suit and tie on, you sit next to your pretty wife, and you hold court, and you look into the camera, and you say, Republicans are sick and evil, and we caused the massacre in Nashville, and then we wonder why Republicans are victims of violence. Then we sit around. Then I'll bet Joe Scarborough is going to wonder, well, why would they target a Christian school? Why would Rand Paul's aide have a knife plunged into his head? Why would Steve Scalise be shot? We act surprised. Did you see what Katie Hobbs' press secretary did hours after the shooting? The governor of Arizona has a press secretary named Jocelyn Berry. Online, she posted a tweet that showed a scene from a movie of a woman brandishing two handguns, and the press secretary to the governor of Arizona's message was, us when we see transphobes. The press secretary of the newly elected governor of Arizona evidently wants transphobes shot dead in the streets. I'd like to know what Jocelyn Berry thinks of the killer in Nashville. Maybe the killer is the victim. Maybe the killer did something noble, huh? This is how unhinged a number of people on the left are. Not all, certainly not all Democrats, but some of these people are so off the charts that you can't even believe it. And here we go again. Every single time there's a mass shooting, it's Republicans' fault. Megyn Kelly weighed in on this. Do we have the clip from Megyn Kelly? She's got a big popular podcast. I've known Megyn for years. Used to appear on her show all the time on Fox News Channel. In fact, she wrote a book and included me in the book. We had a very famous exchange over maternity leave, which got a lot of clicks and a lot of attention. On Megan's podcast this week, now we had to bleep it, right? Because she uses the F word. So did you get the bleep in there? All right, here's what Megyn said about the Joe Scarborough style reaction that it's the Republicans' fault when there's a mass killing like the one at Covenant School and Church in Nashville.
3 9-year-olds were shot down yesterday by one sick person, in addition to the 3 school administrators. There's something wrong with our society, and I, for one, am sick of the knee-jerk. It's the guns. Get the guns. We have 330 million guns, maybe over 400 million by some counts in America. They're not going away. We could do an assault weapons ban tomorrow. They're not going away, all right? We had to take a serious, honest look at what's wrong with us.
Makes sense to me. You say what's wrong with us. I don't put myself in the category of a monster who thinks putting bullets in the bodies of little 9-year-old beautiful angels. I don't relate to that person. I don't relate to anybody who thinks that violence is an answer. But my gosh, to see the left's reaction to instinctively blame Republicans for this, these evil acts, I don't know where to go with that. 800-655-MIKE, 20 past the hour, we're in the ReliefFactor.com studios. I tried earlier, I'll try one more time. Can you explain Joe Scarborough's thinking? Do you agree with Joe Scarborough? Are you one of those who thinks that we Republicans are to blame for school shootings? I'm all ears. I'll put you to the top of the line. 800-655-MIKE.
Support law enforcement? We do too. Gallagher'sHeroes.org.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've helped MyPillow become one of the most extraordinary success stories in America today. Well, now Mike Lindell wants to give back exclusively to you, a Mike Gallagher listener. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale now for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code MikeG. Order today because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream Sheets are breathable. They have a cool, crisp feel made from the finest cotton on earth. Comes with a 10-year warranty, a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this amazing offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order today. Get them while they're hot. Call 800-928-6034. 800-928-6034. Use the promo code MikeG or call 800-928-6034. 800-928-6034. Or go to MyPillow.com. Look for the Mike Gallagher Radio Special Square. Click on that box. And with anything you order, be sure to enter the promo code MikeG. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG. Mike G, or call 800-928-6034 like we love to sing.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Promo code Mike G.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
It's disingenuous to claim that the biases they're exhibited on Fox News are any different from the biases exhibited on MSNBC. It's difficult to suggest that these corporations operate as anything other than mouthpieces for their affiliate owners in BlackRock and Vanguard. I have to take responsibility for our own perspective. Right. I've been on that MSNBC, mate. It was propagandist nutcrackery on there.
In the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike.
My wife and I used to have a joke, if you're crazy, do you know it? If people are unhinged, do they know they're unhinged? I mean, here's a text message on the MyPillow text line from New Jersey. 50-plus years on this planet, I've never heard such absurdities being uttered by, quote, Americans, unquote. They are blaming largely conservatives for an act a liberal leftist actually committed. If they want to reduce mass shootings and disarming the population is their thing, then they should start with banning ownership of firearms from liberal leftists. This week in Nashville, it was them who committed the act. It sure ain't Bible-believing constitutionalist conservatives. Here's another text from Louisville. Activism is separate from propaganda, lying, misinformation, and disinformation and twisting the facts. The left loves their Scarborough, their Joy Reid, their Joy Behars, their Creepy Joe. Goebbels would be proud. He espoused the big lie repeated often. You know, and it's not about Joe Scarborough. I don't care about Joe Scarborough. He could fill in the blank. This is the leftist position. This is the leftist position, and we better get it right. We better get it right in the election. I hope Americans have their eyes wide open this time. Yesterday, Mike Huckabee announced he's endorsing Donald Trump for president. The endorsements are starting to come out. Fellow Fox News Channel fans, and I am a Fox News Channel viewer, but of course I'm able to recognize the way quite a few Fox News personalities have turned against Trump. They are deliberately and conscientiously going after him. Sean Hannity scored a sit-down with Trump this week, two parts on Fox News. The night before last, when they ran it, he got huge ratings. Millions of people tuned in. People wanted to hear what the president had to say about Ukraine and about China and about the border. People, you know, are obviously drawn to Trump's message. I don't know what's going to happen between Trump and DeSantis or somebody else. Who knows? But what I do know is that there are a number of conservatives, quote unquote, who have completely turned on Trump. Jason Chaffetz, former legislator, this guy is now a Fox News contributor. Now, this was pretty remarkable. He's trashing Sean's interview with Trump on Fox and Friends. And if you watch Trump, it was a great interview. It was Trump being Trump. Wasn't really anything new. I mean, one thing with Donald Trump, there aren't any surprises. What you see is what you get. So people that act surprised at recent speeches or interviews or comments by Trump are not being honest. They're disingenuous. There's nothing new about Trump. He's the same guy he was 6-7 years ago. In fact, you know, Mike Huckabee had a beautiful message about why he's endorsing Donald Trump for president in 2024. It's kind of lengthy. I'll hold off on it for a little bit because it's almost 3 minutes. But here's Jason Chaffetz. Now listen to this. Listen to Jason Chaffetz. Very unusual. The Fox News credo, and I know I used to work there. I was a contributor there for years. Their motto or their mantra is you don't shoot inside the tent. You know, there are all kinds of reports about rivalries. Supposedly, Sean didn't like Bill O'Reilly and O'Reilly didn't like Sean. And then there was Sean and Tucker have a rivalry. I mean, they're all competitive with each other. I think they like each other. I don't know. I mean, I certainly like almost all of them. But check out what a Fox, this is a guy getting paid by Fox News as a contributor, trashing Sean's interview with Donald Trump on Fox and Friends yesterday. Check this out.
I thought Sean Hannity did a good job, but I watched that and I thought, where is Donald Trump? I voted for Donald Trump twice. I have defended him countless times. I thought he was horrific. I think that was the worst interview I've seen the president do. He was whining. He was complaining. He played the victim card time and time again. And then after that, he complained that, you know, somebody he had endorsed was now running against him. And I thought he was absolutely horrific. He's the former president of the United States. Act like it. He didn't in that interview.
And incidentally, he's talking to Brian Kilmeade, who also seems to have turned on Trump. So you got prominent Fox News people who are eviscerating the 45th president of the United States. Understand something. This is deliberate. This is absolutely deliberate. This is an intentional direction that Fox News is going. Trump's got a mountain to climb in 2024. There's no question about it. There's just no doubt that he's going to be up against it in a big way. I mean, he certainly had Fox supporting him in his conservative policies in 2016 and even in 2020. No more. Now you got. I mean, again, I've pointed this out a million times. When Fox doesn't carry 1 second of the president's first major campaign appearance in Waco, Texas, they're firing a shot across the bow. They're saying, nope, we don't want our viewers to like this guy. We don't want our viewers to support this guy. And when Jason Chaffetz takes a perfectly normal interview that Sean had with Trump and blasts Trump as horrific and, oh, he's whining and terrible. This is awful. What are you smoking? What are you talking about? What's wrong with you? Now, I understand Jason Chaffetz is capable of flipping back and forth pretty quickly. Somebody on social media posted last night after the Access Hollywood tape came out, Jason Chaffetz was all against Trump and he can't be. And then about a week later, he was all in for Trump again. So this guy's just flipping a coin. I'm not sure that he's a pretty reliable barometer of what people are really thinking. But, you know, watching very powerful entities aligning with one candidate or another on the Republican side is really remarkable. Now, Mike Huckabee, he's a good man, former governor of Arkansas. His daughter is now the Arkansas governor. Mike has made a full-throated endorsement on his show on Newsmax. Listen to what Mike Huckabee said, Governor Huckabee said, about why he's endorsing Donald Trump in 2024.
Well, Donald Trump was my second choice for president in 2016. Second choice. Because my first choice was me, folks, just so you know, okay? Yeah. But when I didn't make it, I endorsed, supported, and campaigned for Donald Trump. As president, he exceeded my expectations in implementing the America First policies. And they were long overdue to truly make America great again. I surprised most of my friends and even some of my enemies in supporting Donald Trump. He often said things that were cringeworthy, and some of the labels he affixed to political opponents in the media were harsh, if not accurate, and incredibly funny. Okay, I didn't like all of his tweets or his comments from the podium. And when people ask, how could I support him? I said, well, it's like choosing a doctor to do surgery on a member of my family. If my choice was between a kind, loving, praying surgeon who had the bedside manner of a pastor, but who had never successfully done that particular surgery, or I could pick a surgeon who was gruff, bombastic, and impatient, and who had the bedside manner of a schoolyard bully, but he had successfully done that surgery hundreds of times, I'd pick the guy with a questionable personality, but the experienced and skillful surgical hands. Because you see, voting for a president, it's not like being put on a church pulpit committee and hiring a pastor. Ideally, I'd love to have people in office who share not only my political views, but also my personal views and my personality. But in the same way I choose someone to work on my car, fly the plane that I'm on, repair my home air conditioner, or dry clean my suits, I select people to work for me who are the best at what they're hired to do. I frankly, there was a reason that people were lined up on the sidewalk to get soup from Soup Man that we all saw in Jerry Seinfeld, right? The soup was good, even if Soup Man was an insufferable grouch. You know, there are going to be some very fine people running for president in 2024. And there are going to be some who could prove to be as worthless as a milk bucket under a bull. But just to be clear, I will again personally support President Trump so he can finish what he started during his first term.
I mean, incidentally, how big is Huckabee's audience on that Newsmax show? Where do they do that? Is that in Nashville? He sounds like he's got 10,000 people in that audience. I mean, I think Gutfeld has 16 people up there in the bleachers at Fox News. How many people they got? Pretty profound commentary from Mike Huckabee. You know, we have this great feature brought to you by MyPillow called the text line, where you can text us your comments. I've got a big screen on the wall. If you're a jerk, we block you in about 2 seconds. We barely see it. But a lot of people offer some great commentary and insight and analysis. But it's a two-way text feature. If you text certain keywords to us, we can send you back things. And one of the most successful text message services we've been offering is the list of Trump's accomplishments from 2016 to 2020. In fact, Yuri was telling me that a guy yesterday called locally on AM 970 The Answer and was asking for the list of Trump accomplishments that we always send out. If you just text the keyword Trump to 1-800-655-6453, we'll send you back the link that shows Trump's actual accomplishments as president. And then there was a revised version that came out a little bit later. So if you want the revised list, if you have the original list, but you'd like the revised list, you could text the keywords more Trump to 800-655-6453. We'll send you back that link as well. And you can see what Mike Huckabee is talking about. I mean, it's worth remembering what he actually accomplished as president. Compare that to the 2.5 disastrous years of Grandpa Joe, who chooses to joke about ice cream rather than address a grieving nation over the Nashville shooting. And yet, that's true. It really happened. It's a very important resource, and my thanks out to Mike Lindell and MyPillow for sponsoring this. And incidentally, speaking of texts that we can send to each other, watching those heroic Nashville police officers neutralize the evil killer in Nashville shows the bravery and the heroism of police officers. And I invited you to text us the keyword body cam to 800-655-MIKE, and I promised we would send you back the link, the video showing the body cam footage. It's graphic, and I warned you that it's not easy to see because this killer was taken out, and I don't care how evil the person is. It's tough to watch somebody get killed. But watching the police response, it's about a six-minute video, and it's pretty amazing to see that video and see what hero police officers are capable of doing. That's why we love law enforcement. That's why we support law enforcement the way we do. So, similarly to the Trump text, if you text the keyword body cam to our MyPillow text line, which is 800-655-MIKE, we'll send you back that body cam video. Again, it's graphic. It's difficult to watch. But it shows, the majority of it shows how quickly, how efficiently, how bravely these Nashville officers responded to the monster who massacred six people this week in Nashville. So again, just text body cam to 800-655-MIKE, or you could text Trump and more Trump to 800-655-MIKE, and we'll send it all back to you, because that's what we do around here. We're givers. We're givers. It's like Mike Lindell giving you the best night's sleep of your life, guaranteed with the MyPillow 2.0. Buy one, get one free. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG.
Watch the Mike Gallagher Roundtable exclusively on the Salem News Channel. Mike's team, Derek, Tracy, Yuri, and Eric, share their opinions on the biggest stories Mike discusses every day. Get your seat on the Mike Gallagher Roundtable at the start of every hour on the Mike Gallagher Show, only on Salem News Channel. Mamina. This is your source for breaking news and what to make of it all. This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
Now the inflation and high interest rates that Joe Biden caused have resulted in the Biden banking crisis, a disaster of historic proportions.
Mr. Secretary, I want to say to you right now, your behavior is disgraceful. If you had integrity, you would resign.
This is a choice Republicans have made. More guns, more deaths.
Now, from the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike Gallagher.
All kinds of crazy stuff to digest. I was just looking at Twitter. Byron York posted a tweet retweeting a Washington Post article. Headline, the D.C. U.S. attorney declined to prosecute 67% of those arrested. What an embarrassment. What an absolute disgrace. Byron York responded to that Washington Post reporting. I mean, this is so obvious why we are seeing havoc in the streets of America. These lunatic, radical, far-left activist district attorneys and U.S. attorneys and prosecutors who don't want to prosecute criminals. As Byron said, this is horrifying for Americans, for residents. Authorities in the District of Columbia have simply stopped prosecuting the large majority of crimes for which a suspect has been arrested. Burglary, gun possession, drug possession are now essentially free crimes in Washington, D.C. Hey, criminals, go move to D.C. because you're going to get a pass. And the same could be said for Chicago, for New York, for Los Angeles. The left is destroying this country. I dare you to tell me I'm wrong. This is from the Washington Post. This is not a conservative newspaper. Why the D.C. U.S. attorney declined to prosecute 67% of those arrested. That is beyond a scandal. That is beyond an embarrassment. That is an epic failure. And even the Washington Post is paying attention. I'm reading the article here. As the district grapples with rising crime. Huh. Wonder why crime is rising. I don't know. It's like the mystery of the shooter in Nashville. Wonder why she did it. I don't know. The New York Times headline. If the Washington Post revelation isn't bad enough, how about this New York Times headline this morning? I almost fell off the chair. Headline, investigators are still searching for a motive in the killing of six people at the Covenant School in Nashville. You might want to crack open the manifesto that she wrote. She evidently explained why she did it. But they're still searching. They're searching. They're pondering. They're navel-gazing. Wonder why. Why did this person, who evidently hated the Christian school she attended, hated her parents, wonder why she went to a Christian school and murdered three innocent little 9-year-old children and three heroic school administrators and the headmaster. They're searching. Gosh, I hope they can come up with an answer one of these days. Who would be opposed to the manifesto of the killer being revealed? The Nashville Police Department has released everything else. My gosh, we've seen pictures of the killer's bedroom. We've seen the interior of her house. We've seen the body cam video. Yesterday, thousands of people texted the keyword body cam to our MyPillow text line, which is 800-655-MIKE, so you could see what hero police officers do. Thousands of you said that we almost blew the thing up. Thank goodness it's a good system. But just text the keyword body cam to 1-800-655-6453 if you want to see what bravery and heroism and sacrifice looks like. Any one of those police officers could have been blown away by the monster. But they went to her, they went to the shooting, they went to the gunfire, and they took the killer out. So, you know, I'm just astounded at the insistence of a narrative. This is about a narrative. This is no longer about facts. Facts don't matter anymore. Facts don't matter. As crime is rising in D.C., a startling statistic has emerged. So saith the Washington Post. Last year, federal prosecutors in the district's U.S. Attorney's Office chose not to prosecute 67% of those arrested by police officers in cases that would have been tried in D.C. Superior Court. The increased number of declined cases has sparked frustration among city leaders. You think so? Frustration. The prosecutors are declining cases for myriad reasons, according to the Washington Post article, and they interviewed Matthew Graves, the Biden-appointed U.S. attorney. There's a lot of reasons, like the city's crime lab remained unaccredited, and police body cam footage was subjecting arrests to more scrutiny. My God. My Lord. I'm sorry, and I mean my God literally. My God in heaven above, help us out of this mess that the Democrats are creating. My Lord in heaven above, 67%. Facts don't matter to these lunatics. I'm sorry, they don't matter to these crazies on the left. I saw something on social media. I don't know if it's true or not. I wouldn't know an AR-15 from an M&M. I'm not, you know, I'm a staunch Second Amendment defender. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in our Constitution. I think our founding fathers knew what they were doing. So I don't know if this is true or not, but there's a picture of the killer roaming the halls of the Covenant School and Church in Nashville. And the caption says, surveillance footage shows the Nashville shooter used a carbine which fires pistol rounds, not an AR-15. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. Maybe gun enthusiasts can tell me. 1-800-655-MIKE. But again, facts won't matter. It won't matter. If Biden wants to ban, and incidentally, I heard Biden mumbling about an AK-47. You think he knows what the killer used? Good luck. He doesn't know what he had for breakfast this morning. AK-47, you gotta ban guns. Evil Republicans won't ban AK-47s. Oh, did the killer use an AK-47? Or did the killer use an AR-15? Or did the killer use a carbine, which fires pistol rounds? But again, those pesky facts won't matter to the left. They don't care about facts one iota. Truth doesn't matter to them. If truth mattered, they'd want to see the manifesto. If truth mattered, they'd want to know what the killer's motivation was. And evidently, according to what the killer said to a friend, it was all explained in the manifesto. Hey, Nashville Police Department, what are you holding back on? What are you waiting for? You've sent us everything else. We know everything. Here's a text message from Nevada on the MyPillow text line. The shooter had two rifles, Mike. One was a high-point carbine that is chambered in handgun-caliber rounds. Huh. A high-point carbine that doesn't sound like an AR-15. But there goes Gallagher again, wanting to deal in facts. It's just me. I'm an evil Republican, don't you know? 800-655-MIKE. The evil Republicans' phone lines are open for you in the ReliefFactor.com studios. 800-655-6453.
Journalist James Rosen reveals never-before-reported details of a great Supreme Court justice in his biography, Scalia, Rise to Greatness. New from Regnery Publishing.
And then I realize I'm wrong.
Gallagher.
Hey, Mike. You know, I'm calling to disagree with you on that. Biden did know what he had for breakfast. If you watch the thing, it was chocolate chip ice cream, man.
Hey, Mike. You know these prosecuting attorneys in D.C. that don't want to prosecute all those crimes? Well, you know what? They ought to just not only fire them, but take away their salary for not doing their job and take away any pensions they have coming to them. See if they like that.
The Democrats are crazy. That's all it is. And if it ain't one agenda, it's another. And all the agendas are bad for America, whether it's the universities, what they teach, the left and the woke. They're all off track.
They're off track, all right. They're off kilter. And that's the problem. I mean, we're not dealing with policy disagreements here. How do you disagree with people who are so unhinged? Republicans don't want... We want kids killed? Can you imagine going around boldly proclaiming that Republicans want children murdered in Christian schools? Let me get this straight. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the shooter in Nashville wasn't a registered Republican. Just a guess. I got a hunch she wasn't a Republican. I'm thinking she wasn't a conservative. She goes and murders kids in a Christian school, and that's conservatives' fault? Got it. Got it. See, facts don't matter to these people. Here's a text message. Came in on the MyPillow text line. It looked like the Nashville killer had a Kel-Tec Sub 2000. That's a pistol caliber carbine chambered in either 9mm or 40 Smith & Wesson. Now, that's somebody who knows guns. Wait a minute. I thought they wanted to ban AK-47s. Is that a semi-automatic? Is that an automatic? Because the facts don't seem to matter. They all get blended together. You see how this works? You see how it works? It's Republicans' fault for a mass shooting because we want to defend the Second Amendment. See how that works? I wonder if Joe Biden is going to stand there babbling about chocolate chip ice cream and tell us if Republicans would only ban Kel-Tec sub 2000s, we'd be getting somewhere. And even the White House or the Senate chaplain has gotten in on the act. Check this doozy out. This is the Senate chaplain, Rear Admiral Barry Black, during the Senate chamber prayer.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we stand in awe of you. Lord, when babies die at a church school, it is time for us to move beyond thoughts and prayers. Remind our lawmakers of the words of the British statesman Edmund Burke. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing.
He used the word evil, and I think it's important to use that word a lot. When evil exists, we gotta identify it. What that shooter did in Nashville is an act of evil. But speaking of evil, how evil is it that the Senate chaplain says that prayer isn't enough? We can't pray. That's a chaplain. If your pastor this Sunday, or your priest, or your rabbi this weekend, stands at the pulpit and says, we must move beyond prayer, we have to move beyond thoughts and prayers, get out of that church. End your membership at that church and your affiliation immediately. And imagine the United States Senate chaplain saying, we got to ban guns, we got to move beyond thoughts and prayers and ban guns. That's what good people need to do. That's the chaplain of the U.S. Senate. Let that sink in and tell me where we are at the end of March in 2023, huh? Wow. All right, your voice, your call, your perspective coming up, I promise. 1-800-655-MIKE. Nothing but phone calls. Next.
A little Rick James. And give it to me. Because we're about to give it to you right now in the 735 segment, Mike Gallagher and me.
Oh, I'm about to give it to you.
Well, okay. Well, before you do, this is kind of where I was going with Rick James, because we're going to give it to you in person, and we're inside 3 weeks now. It'll be April 18th, and should I fear this event now?
No.
This is going to be hell for me. I'm teasing. We are going to bring all the love, all the tension, and I am getting ready, in fact, to send to Mike, and we're putting together some. I don't want to give hardly anything away about what we have planned for that night, but there will be some memories of when things did not go so well here, or maybe they went great.
Maybe today.
Well, I'll
hey, Rhonda, Rhonda, Matt, roll tape.
We might be able
to use this in a couple weeks.
So here we go, and that is the date, April 18th at the Palace Arts Center, Lancaster Theater, and there it is. There we will be. Mike and I exchanging all kinds of pleasantries and tensions and delicious things, and with plenty of audience input and plenty of pull back the curtain moments. An evening with Mike and Mark. Join us. Tickets on sale right now at 6:60 a.m. TheAnswer.com. Where perhaps that night I will ask what I'm asking now. What have I done now?
Well, no, I love your clarity and consistency and your thoughtful analysis over Nashville. And boy, I got chills when I heard you compare the Nashville response by the police to Uvalde. Capaldi. I didn't realize 77 minutes to 14 minutes. In fact, yesterday we set a record. You know, with our fancy text system, you've got the Patriot Mobile text line, and I've got the MyPillow text line, and we have an ability to send back video clips to people who text us a keyword. And when that video surveillance was released, the body cam video was released yesterday by the Nashville PD. I offered it to our audience because I thought you should see this. You should see the way it's supposed to be
good
done.
For you. Good
Look
for
at
you.
These two young, brave hero officers who took out the shooter, who neutralized and killed the shooter. And so we had a record. Thousands of people text, and you can still do it. If you text the keyword body cam to 800-655-MIKE, we'll send you back the clip, the video of the body cam video that shows what hero police officers are supposed to do. And incidentally, this is what police do all the time. I know there are aberrations. I know there are outliers. There are mistakes made. There's you know, people. We all fall short. But this is what policing is. They go to the danger. They go to the shooter. They run towards the gunfire and do what they have to do. So again, thousands of people yesterday texted that keyword. And again, there's no charge or anything. Just standard text messaging rates may apply, and please don't text and drive. But if you text the keyword body cam to 800-655-6453, we'll send you back the body cam video, which is quite an eye opener. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about something you said this morning, because I was listening very carefully to your monologue and your thoughts about the mental health crisis we're suffering in America. And you're so right. You're absolutely correct. And you said, and now correct me if I'm wrong, and if I misheard you, I apologize. I think you said that we're part of the mental health problem. As an example, we sell guns to people who are confused about their gender. Did you say that?
Yes. Gender dysphoria is a mental illness and should be an instant disqualifier for a gun purchase.
So you are in favor of some red flag laws.
No, not at all. No,
that's a red flag law.
That
would be a red flag law. Okay, let me hear me out. Let me make my point.
But then I'll tell you why it's not, because red flag laws are unconstitutional.
Of course they are. And they're wrong.
Maybe I can clear this up. In fact, it's probably a good idea if I do.
Good.
Because I'm steadfastly against. I mean, there are all kinds of things. All right, how do we take transgenderism off the table? How do we right now learn of someone's mental health history to where it was somebody because of psychosis, somebody because of manic depression, somebody because of something else is disqualified from a gun purchase? How do we do that now?
There'd be a breaking of HIPAA laws, and somebody would have to break the confidence perhaps of a doctor and a patient, which is exactly why red flag laws are unconstitutional. Somebody would have to say, oh, I think this problem, for example, I think my boyfriend might be mentally ill. Oh, let's go take his guns away.
Right. Well, the danger of red flag laws. But that's why I'm seriously asking, and maybe this is a question I need answered. We are certainly the official mental health professionals talk show, the official gun dealers talk show. I have a feeling there has to be some type of self-disclosure. I have a feeling there, and I know people can lie. I totally know people can lie.
Of course they can.
But right now, we do not permit people with a serious self-harm or equally disturbing psychiatric history. We don't let them own guns today, right now.
You're being inconsistent. You're very inconsistent.
I want to add gender dysphoria to the list of things that are disqualifiers.
Of course
as practiced today.
And that is pragmatically speaking a red flag law. That would be saying that's a disqualifier. That's exactly what a red flag law is,
no,
Mark.
So are you saying right now that there should be no way, and I guess I'm asking for the third time, and maybe you don't know, and I obviously don't, how do we right now, March 29th, 2023, prevent somebody with a serious, disturbing psychiatric history from buying a gun? Whatever that existing system is that's not a red flag law, it is what it is. I want gender dysphoria added to the list of things that will bounce you from
I get it. You want a red flag law for for trans people.
Not
I get
at all.
That, and that's a mistake. And it's a slippery slope. And I understand your strong, deep-seated feelings about the whole trans issue. And I respect it. This has become a powder keg issue, and all the drag queen story stuff and everything. Right. If we start saying, now listen, if you're trans, you can't buy a gun. If you're gay, you can't buy a gun. If you're this is the LGBT community. Right. You know, I know you don't agree with it, but it is part of the LGBT community. The T is for trans. And when you say being trans is a disqualifier from being able to buy a gun, I think that's a mistake. That's a big mistake. Of course. I mean, you think because of your sexual orientation or your definition, we've got an admiral right now, Rachel Levine, who I believe is qualified to buy a gun. Now you may think that she doesn't, but believe me, there's no normal paradigm where a functioning member of society, this person, this killer, this evil monster. And see, I think the trans thing. Let me just get this out on the table. I think what's been overshadowed is what is apparently an anti-Christian bigotry.
Absolutely.
There are reports that this person hated the Christian school that she attended. She hated her Christian parents. Well, who knows?
Who knows? We don't know like we
and
know
guess
our
what?
Names, but I think we have a clue, don't we?
Well, guess what? It's in the manifesto, and they won't release it. Look at this headline, Mark. This is hysterical. In the New York Times, investigators were still searching for a motive in the killing of six people at the Covenant School. Well, I got an idea. Why don't you open up the manifesto?
Yes.
Because you might get to see what the motive is. And
we might indeed.
And the fact that they're holding this, and we've seen already the body cam video. Heck, we've seen pictures inside the killer's bedroom. We know they've released, the Nashville PD has released all kinds of stuff except the motivation as stated by the killer. Pardon my metaphor here. That's a big red flag. That's a problem.
My point on all this is I'm
worried and concerned that the trans debate has overshadowed a very real anti-Christian bigotry, anti-Christian hatred. When Dylann Roof went into Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston and murdered those beautiful, loving churchgoers, black parishioners who opened their doors and their hearts to that vicious monster. We didn't have any hesitation. He's a hateful bigot. He's a hateful racist. He hates black people, and he wanted to murder black people. And incidentally, there's no question.
Properly so.
So when this young person goes in to a, and incidentally, it was also a church. We've lost sight of that too. It was a church and a school. This is a church shooting as well as a school shooting. And went hunting little Christian babies and Christian educators. That is an anti-Christian bigotry and bias and hatred. And the media yawns at that. They look the other way.
If somebody had shot up a mosque, it's Islamophobia. Shoot up a synagogue, it's obviously anti-Semitism. But this one. But here's the thing, and you're so right, but you're 80% right. The other 20%, just to make up numbers, the thing you don't want to do for some reason is to identify a world and identify that it's problematic where we allow people who don't know what sex they are to wander through the world and they believe that the God that created them is bad, that people who believe in that God are bad. It is trans radicalism that fueled this shooting, it seems. And so to kind of let that go and let just group it with some other religious bigotry. This is a very specific religious bigotry fed by the radicalization of trans politics. And to be blind to that because we're just kind of uncomfortable about it, we don't want to, that ain't right.
Well, we don't know. I mean, the police have indicated that she had a resentment for the school and a resentment of her parents. The police have not said that the trans agenda fueled this killing, and I'm not ready to connect those dots until we see what was in the manifesto.
No, and you're right about that. And it's easy to say that they're not releasing it because that's exactly what's in the manifesto, and they don't want to. And I will admit to you in any way you wish that I don't know this like I know my own name, and I'm not asserting that I absolutely know that it's true. But I do know that in this 2023 environment, that look what we have coming up at the Supreme Court on April 1st, the Trans Day of Vengeance. It is an approved narrative in our media culture, in our parenting culture, in our medical culture, that people who don't know what sex they are, that 12-year-old boys who think they're girls ought to be celebrated. And if you stand in the way of that, you are the problem. You are the hater. And a Bible that says that wrong, it says that that is wrong, is the problem. We are laying the groundwork to drive people this crazy. We have a world that is creating that kind of
insanity. Here's a text message that answers your question, and this is where it gets very interesting in terms of your position of adding gender dysphoria to the list of disqualifiers. A doctor is required to report to the authorities if you pose a danger to yourself or others. That's the disqualifier. So if you're going to say that somebody who's transgender should be disqualified from being able to purchase a gun, I'm telling you, Mark, that is a slippery slope. That's a red flag law that absolutely turns into the wife turning in the husband because he might be mentally ill or he's depressive.
I'll never be in favor of red flag laws. Red flag laws are terrible, and that's not what I'm talking about. But you have identified, as you often do, given me a bolt of clarity where I can sit here and spout off some wonderful idea I have, but then I got to figure how it's supposed to work. Because, and I thank the texter because that is how it happens.
They see
somebody who poses a threat, and then they have to notify authorities and say, "Hey, Bill Johnson over here may do something harmful." Does that mean that every trans person deserves to be categorized as such? That's a tough bridge to cross. But
it's a leap, and it's also I'm a Second Amendment absolutist, and I admit that guns, as you said, and even Megyn Kelly yesterday on her podcast, guns aren't going anywhere. Yep. They can stomp around and they can blame the AR-15 and they can blame Joe Scarborough this morning made such an ass of himself railing and screeching about evil Republicans are to blame for this shooting. Literally, here's a former Republican congressman screaming that it's evil Republicans who have got us where we are because of the gun lobby. They always want to blame the inanimate object. They don't ever look at anything else. But here's what I believe is the Second Amendment, and this is why I disagree with you strongly about making trans a disqualifier. Wow. Everybody should be able to protect themselves. I'm sorry. And if you are LGBT, if you are straight, if you are white, if you are black, every group, whether they're men or women or trans, bottom line, you get to protect yourself. You have a Second Amendment. You have a constitutional right to protect yourself.
Great in a vacuum, but would you agree with the sentence that says there are some mental conditions that rise to the level where you shouldn't own a gun? There's some mental conditions. Is that a yes or no?
Like the texter said, if you pose a threat to somebody else or to yourself.
So are you telling me that one of the most basic dissociative disorders that you can have, not knowing what sex you are, in a world that makes people crazy by virtue of that, that there's no way to put that onto the list of disqualifiers?
If a medical or psychiatric professional feel that you pose a threat to others or yourself, I'm okay with saying that's a disqualifier. That's about it in my world.
Then maybe the only place we can go, now this may be very valuable, and then maybe the only place we can go is, you know, if Uncle Joe woke up this morning and thinks he's a woman, we're not going to go empty out his gun closet. But if there is, in this particular shooter's case, she was in the care of a mental health professional who said she had an emotional disorder. Maybe that would have been reported, and maybe that's a case where we
can do something. If that mental disorder included she posed a threat to others or to herself. And incidentally, according to what we've seen, not a single brush with the law, never had been in trouble before, never had done anything. In fact, I hate to throw this fly in the ointment. Neighbors said, sweet, kind, loving.
I'm sure.
You know, this is what they always say. I mean, the parents, incidentally, deeply religious, but the mother, a big gun control advocate, who was always railing on social media about getting guns out of schools and no armed guards and everything else. Oh my gosh, what a time we are in.
Nobody said it was going to be easy, and it is very valuable for when you and I gather together here on the show.
It's a tough issue.
And I appreciate the challenges because, well, I'm going to offer it up to the audience and see where that goes.
Good. What's a difficult issue? And listen, I don't know that I got. I could be dead wrong. It's just that was my gut. I fall down on that Second Amendment absolutism.
I know. Absolutely. And I'm the same kind of absolutist you are, but I also have a sharp list of things of criminal history and mental health history where I go, guess what? That's going to be no, but maybe you've shown me a way where that's just not doable. We will continue, and you will continue with your own show at 10, and we eagerly await it.
Happy Wednesday. All right.
Happy Wednesday. That is Mike Gallagher there for you at 10.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.